We sincerely welcome everyone for the celebration of Sri Gaur Purnima. A joyous day, because it was on this day, just over 500 years ago, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rose like tens and millions of suns in the horizon of Gaudadesh to dissipate all the darkness of the sins and ignorance of the age of Kali and bestow the topmost treasure of Krishna Prem to the world. We were discussing this morning and yesterday how the Lord does not necessarily appear in this world alone, but he descends along with his abode and his associates. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, sent to the world many of his eternal associates from the spiritual world. In Srihatta lived Upendra Mishra. He had seven sons. The third of his seven sons was the illustrious Jagannath Mishra, who was directly the self-same personality as Sri Nanda Maharaj, the eternal father of Krishna in this spiritual world. Also, in that area, not far from Srihatta, was Nilambar Chakrabarti, who shifted to Navadweep. His daughter, Sachi Devi. Yashodamai, the eternal loving mother of Sri Krishna, appeared in this form to assist the Lord in his most wonderful leela. The whole of the rasas of Vrindavan descended in Navadweep, which is none different than the slated weep of Goloka, to prepare for the Lord's leela. Just 12 years previous to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth, Nityananda Prabhu, who is Balaram himself, appeared in Radhadesh, in the village of Ekachakra. Jagannath Mishra left Srihatta to live close to Ganga, the holy river, and to study the holy scriptures in the topmost place in all of the world for learning, Navadweep. Jagannath Mishra was a pure, unalloyed devotee of Lord Krishna. While in Navadweep, he was approached by Nilambar Chakravarti and offered the hand of his most noble, illustrious daughter for marriage. And thus they were married. Meanwhile, Advaitacharya, Srivas Thakur, Haridas Thakur, and all the devotees, seeing the lamentable condition of the people in Kali Yuga, were crying out, praying performing great austerities with the hope that the Supreme Lord Krishna would appear. Advaitacharya was so overwhelmed with compassion, and sometimes that compassion even took the form of anger. He just couldn't tolerate seeing people wasting their valuable human form of life as he did. He was screaming out the holy names, beseeching Krishna to come. In fact, the devotees were so sad to see the condition of mankind. Advaitacharya, he proclaimed that I will bring Krishna down to this world. By the power of my prayers, my fasting, and my chanting, by the sincerity of my desire, I will bring Krishna to this world, and he will deliver the fallen. If I do not, then I may have to pick up my chakra and deliver the people another way. He said, but the Lord will come and he will make everybody dance, and I will dance and you will dance. We will all dance at the coming of the Lord. And then I will live up to my name of Advaita Singha, Advaita the Lion. Hare Krishna. This was his faith. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi lived in the very heart of Navadvip Dham, the yoga peet in Mayapur. And not for any social or human reason, they wanted a child. The reason they wanted a child is the Lord within their heart wanted to take birth from them. So he was impelling this burning desire for them to have child. Sachi Devi was pregnant. She gave birth to a beautiful daughter. But just after the birth of this innocent child, it died. Sometime later, she gave birth to another daughter. And within days of birth, it died. Eight consecutive daughters were born of Sachi Devi and died. Now, for those ladies who have had the compassionate service of bearing a child, you can imagine how painful this must be. So they decided to perform special devotional worship to their family deity, Damodar Shila, with the prayer that he may bless them with a child. A child was born. It was a male child. A partial expansion of Nityananda Balaram, who appeared just as Baladev entered the womb of Devaki to prepare that womb to be the abode of Krishna. Similarly, Balaramji appeared as Vishwarup in the womb of Sachi Devi, because in the spiritual world, Balaramji is actually, he's sustaining the spiritual world. He's manifesting himself as the spiritual world. He's always in the mood of service to Krishna. Vishwarup was a beautiful child. And as he grew, he possessed the most charming, illustrious qualities. He was well-mannered, perfectly behaved, respectful to all, and he really didn't care about anything except devotion to Krishna. He was so kind, so considerate, and so loving in his service attitude toward everyone. The people loved him. In the year 1406 Saka, 1485 by our modern calendar, in the month of Magh, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared within the womb of Sachi Devi. How this actually happened is explained in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Sachi Mata became pregnant with the Lord of the Universes, she became effulgent. It appeared that the goddess of fortune was now living in their house. One day, Sachi Devi told Jagannath Mishra that, "I don't know what's happening, but I see brilliant, brilliant human beings, like demigods, in outer space, offering prayers and obeisances and hymns to the child in my womb." Jagannath Mishra said, "Something extraordinary is happening, because whenever I go outside, people just come up to me who I never met before and offer me gifts and wealth and all sorts of auspicious things. This has never happened like this before." Jagannath Mishra explained the most extraordinary experience that he had. He said, "Just before your pregnancy, I saw the brilliant abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead enter into my heart. And then from my heart, it transferred into your heart." And Sachi Devi said, "I saw the same thing. The resplendent, brilliant abode of the Lord descending into your heart and then coming into my heart." They were jubilant. They understood that a very, very elevated personality had taken shelter in her womb. From that time, yes, everything became auspicious in the house of Jagannath Mishra. Thirteen months passed, and the child did not come out. This was raising great concern. 13 months came out, and the child was showing no indication of coming out. So Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi were becoming very, very worried. They approached Nilambar Chakravarti, who was not only the foremost Brahmin, but he was a great scholar and astrologer. He performed an astrological reading and was certain with his conclusion. He told them that this is a very special divine personality who is in your womb. And he will not come out until the most auspicious possible moment. And according to my calculations, he will come out this very month. He's just waiting for that auspicious time. This is the nature of the Lord. How many embryos in the womb have the capacity to wait for an auspicious time? by their karma or by their spiritual merits, they may be helplessly pushed out an auspicious or inauspicious time. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always the independent controller of all controllers. He wanted to appear within this world in such a way to manifest the essence of his mission. On the full moon night of the month of Phalgun in the year 1486, there was a lunar eclipse. Kaviraj Goswami explains it in this way, that when the spotless golden moon of Gaur Chandra is about to appear, what is the use of a moon with spots? Considering this, Rahu swallowed the moon. There was a full lunar eclipse. People consider that this is inauspicious. So all the Hindus in this time, in order to protect themselves, they were chanting the names of Lord Hari. One Bengali told me that in Bengal, even today, throughout their life, so many people, they chant different hymns and prayers to Durga Devi for material benefits. But at the time a person's dying, that's when they chant the names of Hari. Because ultimately they know that Hari is supreme. So at this time of the lunar eclipse, people afraid that they may lose their blessings, or they may lose their wealth, or they may lose their fortune, or they may lose their memory for great scholarship, they all went to the river Ganges and they were loudly chanting the holy names. The whole world was filled with the chanting of Lord Krishna's holy names. Everyone was chanting in all directions. There were literally, in Navadweep and the surrounding areas, there were millions of people in the Ganges loudly chanting the holy names of Hari. Chanting Hari Bol, Mukunda, Murari, Govinda, Krishna, Gopinath, like that. Chanting. It was such an intoxicating experience with the constant reverberation of the holy names. It explains that the people were chanting, and actually, it wasn't just their superstitious sentimentalism. It was Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart, actually invoking the inspiration to loudly cry out the holy name at that moment. Because there were so many millions of Hindus chanting the holy names, even the atheists, and even the non-Hindus, and even the Muslims, when they saw the Hindus chanting, they never saw anything like this before. They were all chanting, Hari, Hari. Their hearts became jubilant. And all the Muslims, in a jubilant spirit, raised their arms, loudly chanting the holy names. Everybody was being swept away by the tidal wave of Nam Sankirtan. And the devotees, this is what they were praying for. This is what they were longing for years. All of these people were so materially entangled, they would study the script. Even the best so-called scholars of Srimad Bhagavatam wouldn't even talk about Krishna or devotion. Lecturers from Bhagavad Gita would speak nothing about Krishna or devotion. What to speak of everyone else? But on this day, on this night, millions and millions of people, everyone in all directions, were loudly crying out the names of Krishna. Can you imagine what a wonderful experience? Just anywhere you go, you can't escape. There's just tumultuous chanting of Hare Krishna. This sound literally filled the universe. Not just the world, the universe. By the will of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the devotees saw this, Srivas Thakur and his brothers and the other Vaishnavas, they were in bliss. They were jubilant. They were dancing. They were chanting. It was too much ecstasy. They were just crying out in a prayerful mood, "Let this eclipse last forever." It was at that time the most auspicious moment in modern history. When the whole world was intoxicated with the holy name, people didn't even know what they were doing or why. Even people in other countries, they didn't even know what the name of Krishna was, but they were chanting. The Lord induced them. It was at that most splendorous moment that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, assuming the mood and the brilliant complexion of Srimati Radharani, who descended into this world to deliver everyone and anyone who would accept his mercy without discrimination. That supreme avatar, more magnanimous, more merciful than any other incarnation of Krishna, even Krishna himself, he came to give the highest realm of love freely in the age of Kali. Like the beautiful moon, he appeared from the womb of Sachi Devi to illuminate the world with Krishna consciousness. As everyone was loudly chanting the holy name. When Lord Gauranga manifested his form in this world, everything became so auspicious. All the rivers in the world started manifesting beautiful lotus flowers. All the constellations in the sky just formed in the best possible configurations. And something extraordinary happened. Everyone on earth, all species of life, their hearts became uncontrollably jubilant. And nobody knew why. People were literally intoxicated with happiness. And they were all chanting Hare Krishna. And the devotees, they were so blissful. They didn't know what happened. Advaitacharya was in Shantipur with Haridas Thakur, and they felt such extraordinary, ecstatic bliss. They just started dancing and dancing like madmen. And people were wondering, what are they doing? And then they went to the Ganges to take their bath, and Advaitacharya, he's in his mind, He was giving profusely charity to qualified people. That's what a father does when a child is born. That is our culture. Giving and charity invokes auspiciousness upon those you love. Srivas Thakur and his associates, they were dancing and dancing and dancing and singing. Their hearts were just erupting with ecstasy. They went to the Ganges and all of them started mentally giving profuse charity to the Brahmins, to the Vaishnavas, to the qualified people. Lord Chaitanya has come to the world. When Sachi Devi and family members looked at the beauty of this infant child, their hearts melted in spiritual love. His every limb was the summit perfection of beauty. If you take everything beautiful in all of creation the Lord's toenail was billions of times beautiful than the accumulated beauty of everything within this universal creation. Hare Krishna. We are speaking literally. It described every one of his tiny little toenails was more beautiful than hundreds of billions of full moons. Every limb of that tiny little infant body was the reservoir of all sweetness. His eyes, as an infant child, were like full-blown lotus petals. They stretched practically to his ears. And when he glanced on people, their hearts melted in love. His nose was like a little sesame flower in its perfect state. His lips were bright red, and his complexion was resplendent as molten gold. His little hairs were curling around his face in such a charming way. He captured their very souls. Just seeing him, they became prisoners of the sweetness of his beauty. And they could not escape. From the moment of seeing that little infant child, nobody in the family or anyone who has gathered in that place could ever forget him for even a moment for the rest of their lives. That was the power of his beauty. That morning, Srivas Thakur, Chandrasekhar Acharya, who happens to be Sachi Mata's mother's sister's husband, they came to the house of Jagannath Mishra to perform all the very, very spiritually devotional ceremonial rituals to bless the child. And of course, the heart of all the rituals for a devotee is Nam Sankirtan and prayers and offering prasad to the Lord. There are so many rituals in Vaishnavism, but none of them are dry. None of them are without meaning. They all have the deepest, most sublime meaning. they are all offerings of love and devotion to Krishna and prayers for the prayers, in this case, for Krishna to bless the child with pure unalloyed love. Advaitacharya was so happy. He understood that a very, very special child was born to Sachi Devi. So he sent his wife, Sita Thakurani, who came in a private palanquin from Shantipur to Navadvip. And she brought very, very auspicious gifts to present to the child. When she saw this little child, would you like to know the first thing that came into her mind? She said, she was thinking in her heart of hearts that this is Gopal. This is Krishna who has appeared with a most beautiful golden complexion. And she blessed the child that he would have long, healthy life and that all of his desires would be fulfilled. In this way, all the devotees and family members were gathering to see the beautiful child. Nilambar Chakravarti, he was asked, what is the horoscope of this child? Would you like to know what he said?
No.
He said that this child, it isn't, he is not ordinary. This boy will be very glorious. He will be like a king. I do not have the power to describe the full extent of his glory. He will be so great of a scholar that he will defeat even Brihaspati, the priest of the demigods. He will be a treasure house of all virtues. Then a great Brahmin saint appeared, and that Brahmin was asked to predict the future of the child. He spoke, this infant is Lord Narayan himself. He will establish the essence of all religion. He will become a wonderful preacher. He will deliver the entire world. To everyone, he will freely give the treasure that Brahma, Shiva, and Shukadev at every moment yearn to attain. Simply by seeing him, the whole world will become blissful, renounced, and merciful to all. What to speak of others? Even the Yavanas who hate Lord Vishnu will worship the feet of this boy. His glories will be sung in countless universes. Everyone from Brahmins to children will bow down before him. He will be Bhagavad Dharma, devotional service personified. He will be a great saint. He will be devoted to the demigods, Brahmins, and gurus, and also his mother and father. As Lord Vishnu descends to this world to establish the true religion, so this infant will also teach the true religion. Who has the power to explain the auspicious signs on this boy's horoscope? O Jagannath Mishra, you are very fortunate to have such a son. I bow down before you. I am fortunate to read this infant's horoscope. His name will be Vishwambar. The people will call this boy Navadvip Chandra, the moon of Navadvip. Please know that he will be spiritual bliss personified. because it was such a happy occasion, this Brahmin saint decided not to tell Jagannath Mishra about how his son would take sannyas when he was 24 years old. Hearing these descriptions, Jagannath Mishra became overcome with bliss. Jagannath Mishra was such a pure-hearted soul. Whatever gifts he received, he would immediately give it away in charity. That's why he never had anything at home. This is the way he lived. He was a Brahmin. And because Lord Chaitanya was in the womb of his wife, people were giving him so much wealth and so much charity, but as soon as he'd get it, he'd just give it in charity himself. Jagannath Mishra, he didn't have anything, but in his mind, he was giving profuse charity to this Brahmin for giving such a fabulously wonderful explanation of the future of his child. He was given several names. Sachi Devi, because he was born under a neem tree, and because the neem tree has a power to ward off ghosts and evil spirits, and because she already lost 8 of her children, and here was another little infant who stole her heart, in order to protect him from evil influences, she named him Nimai. And the neighboring ladies, seeing how he was as beautiful as Lord Hari with golden complexion, they gave him the name Gaur Hari. Jagannath Mishra, seeing how every limb of this child was splendorous with a golden complexion, named him Gauranga. Nilambar Chakravarti and the other Brahmin scholars, they understood by their calculations that this child will nourish the whole universe. When he appeared, all sorrow, all drought, fruits were just growing on trees, plants were growing. Didn't matter what season, the whole world was just going wild with bliss. Because he will nourish all the world, they gave him the name Vishwambar. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! When the Lord appears in this world, it is by his own sweet will, above and beyond all the limitations of material nature. He became the heart and soul, the very life of everyone. Their only desire was that he be happy. They could not tolerate any inconvenience upon him. While he was in the maternity facility within the estate of Jagannath Mishra, the demigods were coming down to worship the child. In fact, Shiva, Brahma, Parvati, Aditi, all these demigods and demigoddesses were disguising themselves in human forms like Brahmins to personally offer gifts to Nimai. Sometimes, just to play games with the relatives, they appeared in shadowy forms. And somebody said, "A ghost, a ghost, it's a ghost." "What, you saw a ghost?" "I saw a ghost." And they started chanting, "Narasingha, Narasingha, Narasingha," to protect the child. And the child was laughing, and the demigods were laughing. One of the relatives said, "Oh, ghost, I'm an exorcist. You will not touch this child. Flee, get out of this place. You have no power here." The demigods left. This was their love. The happiness of Nimai was their life and soul. Sometimes he would cry. We know the story. But the more we repeat it, the more our love of God will grow if we are attentive with faith. Nimai would cry, and there was nothing in the 14 worlds that would stop him from crying except when people would faithfully, lovingly chant the holy names. So he would cry. They would bring him milk. They would bring him toys. They would pick him up. They would do everything. Everything a mother does to try to stop a child from crying. But when they would say, "Hari, Hari,
Hari, Hari,"
Nimai would smile. And that smile, the ultimate perfection of all aspirations, is for the Lord to smile upon us. Is it not? Is there anything greater we can ever hope for than the Lord smiles upon us? Nimai would smile at each and every person that was present. His smile was beaming, radiating with love. He would just capture people's hearts, fill them with bliss. They knew the secret. This is what Nimai likes, the chanting of Krishna's names. So every time he would cry, and he'd cry a lot, every time he would cry, they would all gather around him, clap their hands, and loudly chant the holy name. All the lady relatives and friends of Sachi Devi, they would practically be there all day just waiting for the child to cry. And as soon as he'd cry, they would just gather together blissfully, chanting the holy names, and the child would smile and gaze upon them. His glance, it was just an unlimited flow of nectarine love that would come out of his eyes and drown them. And he was only a little infant, a few days old. Four months passed in this way. After 1 month, actually, Sachi Devi went for the first time with her friends and took bath in Ganga, and then went to live properly in the house of Jagannath Mishra. He was just a little baby, not even hardly crawling yet. And one day, they left him alone in the room. And Nimai just broke everything in the room. Scattered everything out. He just broke ghee, pots of ghee and pots of butter and pots of yogurt and all the grains. He just scattered, and threw it on the walls and everything. And when Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra came in, they didn't understand what happened. They came to the conclusion, because Nimai was just laying there. And they came to the conclusion that an evil spirit must have come to kill our child. But because our child is so pious, he was not able to harm him. So the evil spirit was so angry that he just broke everything in the house. And they were discussing this amongst each other. And little baby Nimai was smiling, listening to their talk. Just about that time was the Annaprashna ceremony, the first grains. They gave him the Vishnu Prasad of their deity. It was a great celebration. There were Brahmins chanting mantras, and there was all nice instruments being played, and everyone was gathered together. It's a very big affair. And then they wanted to determine what the inclination of that child would be. So they laid out very nicely puffed rice, gold coins, various other objects, and a Srimad Bhagavatam. They had ornaments and jewels and silks, things that looked like toys. So many laid out. And Jagannath Mishra looked at little baby Nimai, who just began to crawl, and said, "Nimai, whatever pleases your heart most, please come to take it." And Nimai just crawled directly, picked up the Srimad Bhagavatam, and embraced it with both of his arms to his very heart. And all the assembled devotees were very blissful. They started remarking to each other that he will be a great Vaishnav. He will be a scholar of the Bhagavatam. He will preach the essence of truth to the world. While Nimai was still crawling, he was becoming more and more restless. One day he was in the courtyard of his home, and a gigantic snake somehow or other crawled under the wall and got into the courtyard. This snake was just crawling, and little Nimai crawling was sought and just crawled after it as fast as he could and grabbed it with his hand. Being held by Nimai's hand, the snake made himself in a circular coil, and Nimai laid right on top of those coils to rest. His mother, father, and relatives were looking for him, and they saw him laying on the brutal coils of an apparently venomous serpent. They were horrified. They were afraid to approach it. If they scared the snake, he might bite the child. They didn't know what to do. They were crying out, "Garuda, Garuda, Garuda, save our child." But the snake was just laying there, and Nimai was blissfully laughing and smiling. While he was laughing and smiling, his relatives were weeping and crying and again falling unconscious, worrying about the safety of their child. He was literally in the coils of death. They were screaming. They were on the verge of death. That serpent happened to be Anantashesha, who wanted to offer some service to his eternal Lord. When he saw how his being there was upsetting the devotees so much, he just uncoiled himself and crawled away. As soon as he crawled away, the relatives ran and grabbed Nimai and put him on their lap, and they were just chanting mantras and doing little rituals to protect the child from further dangers. And meanwhile, every time they put Nimai down, he would run to chase after the snake again. And they'd have to bring him back. anyone who hears this story with faith and devotion will be freed forever from the snake of birth and death. The neighboring ladies would gather together with Sachidevi and just sing the holy names. Even in his little babyhood, he was inducing people to constantly chant the holy names, Kirtaniya Sadahari, out of love. And this is the perfection of chanting. Please try to understand. A devotee chants the holy names to please Krishna. Our goal, nadanamna janamna sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatat bhakti rahaita kitvai. The Lord taught us, I do not want wealth. I do not want beautiful women. I do not want great fame, followers, scholarship. I do not even want liberation. I only want to serve you unconditionally, birth after birth. What is service? That means I only want to please you. Whatever I do should be an offering to please you. That's what devotional service means. To please the Lord with our attitude, with our words, and our activities at every moment. That's bhakti. So in this way, their only purpose for chanting Krishna's names was to please Nimai. That's the perfection of chanting. When we're chanting japa or chanting kirtan, we may not feel bliss, but we should do it with all enthusiasm. Why? Because it pleases Krishna. There's nothing that pleases Krishna more than chanting his name with humility and faith and devotion. So he would cry and they would chant. And even if he wasn't crying, they would chant. Why? Because it pleased him. And he would reciprocate. They would show their love by chanting Hare Krishna, and little Nimai would, he wasn't even able to walk yet, but he would dance. He would be laying in their laps. They would just, everyone was so eager to have him in their lap. They would just keep exchanging him. One person would put him in lap in ecstasy, and then another person would put him in lap. And whoever's lap he was in, that person, for the all of eternity, never wanted the boy to ever leave their lap. That was his charm. And they'd all be chanting. And they'd be passing him around from lap to lap to lap. And because they were singing with so much devotion for his pleasure, he would reciprocate with his little tiny arms and little tiny body. He couldn't even stand up, but he would dance. He would go like this. He would move around and dance. And that would bring about ever more increasing love in their hearts. He would dance for the ladies. And then gradually he started to walk. Little first steps. And as he started walking, he would just run in and out and run everywhere. But you know what he would do? He would run, as they were performing kirtan, he would run outside. And he'd go to different markets where they were selling sweets. And his little baby child, just learning to walk, would just ask for sandesh or rasgullas or other types of sweets. And as soon as they saw him, they gave him everything he wanted. There was no question of him paying anything. He didn't even, as far as they were concerned, he didn't even know what money was. He just wanted sweets. Yes? So they would just give him anything he wanted. And what would he do with those sweets? He didn't eat them. He would run back into the house of Jagannath Mishra and just distribute the sweets to all the ladies chanting the holy names. This is how the chanting of the holy names pleases the Supreme Lord. And how he would melt their hearts. He would run outside, he would beg for sweets, and he'd come back and distribute it to all ladies to show his satisfaction. One day when he was running around, and he was running around a lot, there were two thieves. These thieves saw that Sachimata was putting nice golden ornaments on the child. They wanted to rob Nimai. So they were quite intelligent. There were crowds of people in the marketplace, and Nimai was just running around, little baby, running around. And they ran up to Nimai and said, "Oh, my son, you have lost your way home. Here, we have come to take you home. Please come with us." And they were saying it really loud so no one would suspect what was their real motives. And they picked up little Nimai and put Nimai on top of their shoulders and started running to their hideout where they would rob everything from the child. Meanwhile, as they were running through the crowds, people were seeing, beautiful child. Everyone was watching. So the thieves were saying, "Oh, child, we're almost home. We're taking you home. We're almost home." And they didn't want the child to cry, so they kept giving him sandesh, just passing it up, and he was on their shoulders, happily eating sandesh. It was a nice ride. Children like rides, yes? Eating, especially when you're eating sandesh. By his mystic yogamaya potency, they thought that they were going through all these marketplaces to their private hideout. But what the Lord did is he bewildered them, and they took Nimai to his own house at the yoga peat. But they thought that it was their house. So they put Nimai down, and they said, "Oh, child, now we've come to our house." And then Nimai, meanwhile, the relatives, they were on the verge of death. They were looking in all directions. They couldn't find Nimai. This is the nature of love. The nature of love is anxiety. Yes? The more you love somebody, the more you're in anxiety for that person. This shanti, shanti, shanti is... That's not what Vaishnavas want. Where is Yashodamai in Shanti, Shanti, Shanti? Where is Gopis in Shanti, Shanti? Where is the cowherd boys? The expression of love is total, wholesale concern for the welfare of your beloved. And just to increase the intensity of your absorption in your love, sometimes the Lord does things to put you in anxiety. Has anyone had that experience? So they were looking everywhere for Nimai. They couldn't find him. They were asking as many people as possible, but nobody knew where he was. They were running and searching and inquiring, and finally they practically gave up. Is our child dead? Is he lost? Where is he? They were collapsing. They were weeping. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go. Their life was finished. Some of them were just sitting in the courtyard with their hands in their heads, just in utter ocean of moroseness. And all of a sudden, little Nimai jumps in their laps. Nehemiah is back. They were so happy. They were all celebrating and just chanting Krishna's names and thanking God. Meanwhile, this whole celebration was taking place, a jubilation, to the degree there was an anxiety when he was lost, to that degree there was bliss when he came back. This is Sambhog and Vipralamba. The two play on each other so excellently. When there's separation, the intensity of that separation absorbs us in remembrance of the Lord to such a sublime degree. But not only that, when Sambhog or union meeting comes, it's intensified like never before after such separation. So they were celebrating beautifully the coming back of Nimai. And meanwhile, there was such a commotion, the thieves were scared as anything that they would be caught. So without saying anything to anyone, they ran away. Hare Krishna. And as they were running away, they were trembling. They were thinking, by the grace of Goddess Durga, we didn't get caught. They asked little Nimai, who brought you home? How did you return home? Somebody said, I thought I saw two men bring him home. Where are they? So Nimai was, how did you come? And Nimai smiled. He said, I was roaming near the Ganga, and I got lost. I didn't know where I was. And these two very kind gentlemen picked me up and brought me home. So they were thinking, let us award them. Let us take costly silken cloth and wrap it around their heads as turbans to show our gratitude. They were looking everywhere, but they could not find them. Those thieves achieved the goal of life, Agyata Sukriti. They gave Sandesh to Nimai. They gave him a ride, and they brought him home. In this way, they didn't know it, but that wonderful pastime was to unfold, to award them the ultimate perfection of life. And one who hears this beautiful story with faith will is given the benediction of firm devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Nimai started performing the leelas of Krishna, from stealing from the various houses of the residents of Navadvip. We won't go too much into that. Should I continue? Would you like to break your fast? We also have Gaur Aarti to perform. Should I tell one more story? Govinda, what do you say? Be honest, please. One day, a pilgrim Brahmin came to the house of Jagannath Mishra. This was a pure saint. He worshipped Bal Gopal as his life and soul. The only two ornaments of his life is from his neck. He carried a little deity of Gopal and a Shalagram Shila. He was constantly chanting the holy names, constantly remembering his Gopal mantra. And he lived in a spirit of unalloyed devotion. When he came to Jagannath Mishra's house, Jagannath Mishra saw him And he could understand that this is a completely pure soul. So he brought him, gave him a respectable seat, washed his feet, and then offered his obeisances. With folded palms, he asked this Brahmin, "Where is his home?" The Brahmin replied that, "I have no fixed place of residence. I simply travel wherever my heart directs me." And Jagannath Mishra said, "Wherever you go, that place becomes a holy place of pilgrimage. You travel the world simply out of compassion for human society. Wherever you are is most fortunate because you're always carrying Krishna within your heart." Jagannath Mishra asked, "Please, allow us to arrange for you to cook for your deity of Gopal, and then you can take his prasad." The Brahmin said, "Whatever pleases you." So the kitchen was cleaned, and bhoga was brought forward, and the Brahmin cooked with great love and devotion. Then he put the bhoga before Gopal and chanted the mantra, inviting Gopal to come and accept his offering. To his great astonishment, he looked up and he saw little Nimai with that effulgent golden complexion, dressed only in the four directions. His loving, lotus-like eyes gazing upon the Brahmin, smiling, a beaming smile, with a handful of the rice in his mouth. "Hi, hi!" the Brahmin cried out. "This child has stolen the food of Gopal." It was shocking. Jagannath Mishra just ran to the child to punish him. And the Brahmin stopped him. He grabbed Jagannath Mishra by the hand. He said, No, you cannot punish this child. Yes, it's true, he spoiled my offering. But the fact is, he's only a little boy. He has no power of reasoning. He doesn't know what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. You can't punish a child who doesn't know better. If you do anything to disturb this child, I will curse you." He said, "Actually, it's the will of Krishna. It is not his desire that I eat today cooked food. Just bring me some fruits and roots. That is what I customarily eat when I'm roaming through the forest." Jagannath Mishra pleaded with him, "Please, please, cook again. We'll clean the kitchen. We'll bring more bhoga. Please cook again. Please." And then all the family members, Sachi Devi and everyone, gathered around and they fell at his feet and they were just crying out, "Please, please, please, cook again." And the pilgrim Brahmin said, "If that's what pleases you, I will cook again." And everyone was very happy. And they ran to the kitchen and cleaned it thoroughly and brought new bhoga. And Jagannath Mishra was very, very insistent, "Keep Nimai away." So he was cooking. And they took little Nimai. Sachi Mata personally took her beloved little son and brought him to a neighboring house and put him under the care of some neighboring young ladies. And said, "Don't let him out of your sight for a moment. Keep him here until further notice." Something like that. So he was cooking, and the young ladies were playing with Nimai. They were putting him in laps, and he was dancing, and they were chanting, and they were their hearts were in bliss. And they were playing nice games with Nimai. They said to Nimai, "Why have you taken this Brahmin's food? Why have you done like this? Don't you know that you don't even know who this Brahmin is? You don't know who his parents are. He's wandering all over the place. How could you just take food from a stranger?" And Nimai said, "I'm a gopa. I'm a cowherd boy. And therefore, it's very proper for a cowherd boy to accept food from Brahmins." And they were laughing and laughing. They said, "Don't you think you will lose your caste by doing this?" And he laughed. "No, no. Cowherd boys like to eat food from Brahmins." In this way, they were playing with him and joking with him. At that time, the Brahmin made up the plate and put it before the deities. And Nimai, by his laughing, by his smiling, by his dancing, by his charm, he completely bewildered all the girls. And they didn't know where they were or who they were or what was happening. And he slipped away, and they didn't even know it. Although their full concentration was only on keeping him, he bewildered them to such an extent that he slipped away, and they didn't even know he was gone. So as the Brahmin, with great concentration and devotion, was chanting the mantra of Gopal, "Gopal, please come and accept this offering," he looked up, and there was Nimai, with a handful of rice in his mouth, smiling. "Hi, hi! The child has again stole the offering of the deities." Jagannath Mishra was fuming with anger. He picked up a stick and charged toward Nimai, and when Nimai saw his father in that state, Nimai ran right into a room and closed the door and locked it. And Jagannath Mishra was knocking on the door. "You come out, you come out. You think I'm a fool. You think I'm an uneducated idiot. You think I'm going to let you get away with this in my house. Come out." And the Brahmin was, "Jagannath Mishra, he's only a little boy. Don't punish him. Don't say these things, please. He doesn't know better." Actually, Jagannath Mishra would never hit Nimai. But he wanted to scare him really good, because he wanted to educate him. This is not the thing to do. It was his ecstatic parental affection. Now, don't misunderstand this. When Jagannath Mishra was angry upon Nimai, it was the manifestation of totally pure, ecstatic vatsalya ras, parental love. There was no mundane anger. There was no mundane frustration. He was above all the modes of material nature. In this material world, we become angry when our selfish desires are frustrated. Yes? But his only desire is to please Nimai. He lived, breathed only for that. So his anger was his protective, loving concern for the future and welfare of his son. It was beautiful. It was sweet. But he was angry. So the Brahmin said to Jagannath Mishra, "Please, give me some fruits and roots if you want to give me something." "That's what I usually eat." Jagannath Mishra said, "Please cook again." And everybody gathered around and begged him, "Please, please cook again." He said, "It's too late. Just give me some fruits and roots. Don't you understand? Can't you see what's happening? It is my destiny on this day not to eat cooked food. Even a very, very wealthy person who has servants bringing luscious feasts. If it's not his destiny to eat that day, he'll come down with a sickness or get an anxiety, and he won't be able to eat a bite of it. It's not by material arrangements that you can eat. It's by destiny. It's Krishna's will, his inconceivable, merciful will, that I not eat cooked foods today. That's clear. Just give me some fruits and roots. At that moment, Vishwaroop came into the room. And when the Brahmin saw Vishwaroop, he gazed at him. His charm, his beauty, his mannerisms were perfect. Vishwaroop bowed down. And the Brahmin asked, "Whose son is this?" They said, "This is the son of Jagannath Mishra." He said, "Whoever is the father of this child is most fortunate." And then Vishwaroop, he began to speak with such affection. He said that you travel around the world just to bestow the highest benediction of Krishna's mercy wherever you go. And we are so fortunate that you came to our house to bless us. But I am so unfortunate that you have come to our house and we have caused you to have to fast. I think that the greatest inauspiciousness is going to come upon all of us for this offense. You're fasting as a guest in our house. And the Brahmin explained the nature of destiny and just asked for fruits and roots. Vishwaroop fell at his feet and said, "Please, please, cook again." He said, 2 hours of the night have already passed. It's too late to cook again. And Vishwaroop said, no, it's not too late. It's a very good time to cook again. Please cook again. And then all the family was falling at his feet. Please cook again. And he said, "I will cook again." So they cleaned the kitchen and brought new bhoga. And he started to cook. And Jagannath Mishra said, "Lock the door," because Nimai was in the room. He said, "Lock the door, bolt the door, guard the door. Do not allow that Nimai out." And they all agreed, this is a very good idea. But then some of the ladies who were in the room with Nimai said, "He's fast asleep. He doesn't know anything except sleep right now. There's no danger." But still, they locked and bolted the door, and Jagannath Mishra stood outside the door with a stick as Nimai slept. The Brahmin cooked. And just when he was about to perform the offering, who did Nimai send? Nidra Devi. He called for the goddess of sleep. Suddenly, without anybody understanding what was happening, everyone in the house was fast asleep. Except the Brahmin. He placed the food before Balgopal and chanted his mantra. Suddenly, he saw before him, right over the plate, Nimai, putting handful after handful after handful of rice in his mouth with a big smile on his face. And the Brahmin just cried out louder than ever, "Hi, hi!
Hi, hi! Hi, hi!
The child has spoiled my offering again." But this time, nobody heard him. Everyone was asleep. Then Nimai spoke with a beautiful smile. He said, "My dear Brahman, what is my fault? You have called for me, and I have come. Again and again you call for me and invite me to eat your food, and I come at your request. Why are you so disturbed with me? I am your beloved Gopal." And then right before the Brahman's eyes, Nimai manifested a wonderful form. He had a complexion like a dark monsoon cloud. The Kostubha Mani was decorating his chest. There was a Gunjamala around his neck. Beautiful golden ornaments, jeweled with precious divine jewelry. He had a dhoti which was bright, the color of flashing lightning. He had peacock feather in his hair and a beautiful crown. He manifested a form with 8 arms. 4 of his arms held the symbols of Vishnu, the club, lotus flower, conch shell, and chakra. 1 hand was holding a pot of butter, and the other hand was eating the butter. And 2 of his hands were playing a flute. Just beside Nimai was a beautiful spiritual kadamba tree with kadamba flowers. And sweet birds from the spiritual world chirping and singing the glories of the Lord. He saw unlimited gopas and gopis surrounding the Lord, all chanting his glories and worshiping him with love. He saw unlimited sarabi cows, cows of the spiritual world, just gazing upon the Lord with love. He saw Brahma chanting glories with 4 mouths, Shiva with 5 mouths, Ananta Shesha with 1,000 mouths, chanting the glories of the Lord. When the Brahman saw this darshan, he fell to the ground unconscious due to uncontrollable ecstasy. And Nimai touched him with his hand. And when he came to consciousness and once again saw this magnificent form, he started weeping and crying and fainting and coming again to consciousness and weeping and crying. His limbs were trembling. His hairs were standing on end. He was rolling on the ground in ecstatic love, uncontrollable. And the Lord pacified him. And he cried out, "Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal." And Nimai explained that you do not remember, but I have manifested this form to you in a previous time. Previously, you were a pilgrim Brahman, and you came to Gokul, to the house of Nanda Maharaj. And at that time, every time you would cook an offering, as little Gopal, I was stealing your offering. And I revealed the same exact form to you then. Do you not remember? You are my eternal servant. Birth after birth after birth, you worship me with pure unalloyed love. Because you have called me, I cannot resist. I am conquered by the love of my devotee. I must accept their offerings. And then Nimai revealed his mission. He said, "I have descended into this world to establish the essence of all religion, Hari Nam Sankirtan. I will spread the glories of the holy name throughout the world, and I will deliver even the most sinful and fallen souls. But you must not tell anyone of anything you have seen or heard, because if you do, I will destroy you. Nimai fulfilled all the desires of this Brahmin and revealed to him the very form of the Lord that you love and worship 24 hours a day, I am that Lord who has come to reveal myself to you. And he said, you should not go anywhere. Remain here in Navadvip. And every day I will reveal to you my eternal pastimes. But do not tell anyone who I am. And then little Nimai, that magnificent, extraordinary eight-armed form again became little Nimai, who ran back into bed and went to sleep. And the Brahmin, he was overwhelmed with spiritual joy. He just started crying out, Jai Gopal! Jai Gopal!
Jai Gopal! Jai Gopal!
And that food that fell from the mouth of Nimai, he just was so intoxicated with love of God, he took that food and started smearing it on all the limbs of his body. He was rolling on the ground, his hairs were standing on end, he was weeping, he was just crying out, Jai Gopal! Jai Gopal! Suddenly everyone woke up and they just heard Jai Gopal, and they heard rolling around and everything, and they came running to see what happened. And when he heard the footsteps that they were coming, immediately he cleaned his body and he sat down and was eating prasad. And when they saw him eating prasad, they were so happy. It was the fulfillment of their desire that their guest would have nice prasad. As they were jubilantly watching him eating, he was thinking in his heart, I have to tell them. The Lord of Vaikuntha is living in their house. If they know who he is, they'll be liberated. They'll never have to take birth again. I have to tell them. They must know. But I can't tell them. I've been ordered not to tell them. I will not tell them. In this way, that Brahmin did not leave Navadvip. Every day he went out begging, but every day at certain times he would come to Nimai's house to observe his wonderful pastimes. And the benediction of hearing this story with faith is that you will very soon meet Krishna. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. We will continue tomorrow. At this time, we will have the opportunity to participate in Gaur Aarti. The most important Gaur Aarti of the whole year. This is not an order. Stay seated, please. This is not just an ordinary aarti. This is the aarti of celebrating the appearance of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy in our lives and in this world. And what pleases Lord the most when he sees devotees coming together in a sweet mood of affection to chant the holy names to please him, and to try to bring more and more and more people into this family of Vaishnavas. So let us very, very enthusiastically, I know you're hungry, But there's only a few more minutes. Half hour RT might last a little longer. But you could all leave anytime you like and take prasad. But for those of you who would like to stay, it is a glorious opportunity. To receive the supreme causeless mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let us dance blissfully, chant joyfully for the pleasure of Sri Sri Gaur Nitai on this most special occasion. Let this be a kirtan that we will never forget for the rest of eternity. Thank you very much. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki.